Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got it. Might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too.
Welcome back to the Mountain West Connection podcast here. Jeremy Moss hanging out with In Transit, Chris Hondris, this Wednesday evening.
Hey, hopefully I sound a little bit better tonight.
We'll see. We will do a two-parter. He's heading home from academia items. But check us out, MWCConnection.com, MWCConnection on Twitter. Future home of hopefully not crappy infographics this week. That's our website.
Hey.
That's I said hope. No, yours have been fine. The next level we're working on, I'm hoping my contribution doesn't weigh us down.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? This is a complete experiment. And when this comes out tomorrow, it should be really interesting because...
Hopefully Thursday, because it took me a bit longer than I thought. So
I told you this when we started it.
I haven't had enough time. I'm busy.
Well, so neither have I, but I warned you. I warned you that this was going to be a bigger project. The first one's the hardest, and then we go on continue.
Look for this on Friday morning. That's my goal this week, Friday morning.
Oh,
hey.
Fine. Yes.
Do you want to finish it?
Well, I'm trying to.
I'm just
but anyway.
I'm just don't compare us to Good Bull Hunting just yet.
Yeah.
We're probably ever. Ever. Probably.
Multiple teams as opposed to one team, and we're not that funny yet.
Nah, yeah, that's more of your department. I'm occasionally hilarious, but not too often. But look for that. We will take suggestions. We'll kind of do a game of the week type deal. Chris's pick, so maybe we'll make something funny with that. But look for that Friday. We're working on a few different things to spice up the website. And for those hating about the West Division, if you hate it, come right for us. Right? Is that the right way to put it?
We need UNLV writers. We need Nevada writers. San Jose State writers.
That's it.
You know, give us a hand.
Yeah. Help us out.
You know, Chris Turner is not going to Hawaii right now. Chris Turner has completely turned our Hawaii coverage around.
And he goes to the University of Missouri.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, let's get to the show. First bit, there's a couple. We got 9 games this week. We'll get through all of them, as we always do, depending on the... if it's the mobile version or not, with Chris heading back to his house at the moment. But we got 90 games. We'll get to all those. But the first topic is a unnamed terrible writer from the Denver Post who feels the Colorado State Rams have dropped to the Big Sky.
Look.
If
Idaho hasn't dropped down to the Big Sky and hasn't been forced to go down to the Big Sky yet, Colorado State definitely won't. And so let's just put that argument to rest. There are teams much more deserving of dropping down to the Big Sky because they're utterly awful and they haven't been dropped down yet.
Do you know, I told you before the show, but did you know the number of teams that have been dropped from 1A to 1AA or FBS to FCS ever?
I think it's 1 or 0.
The only time it's been changed was in the 70s. For some reason, the entire Mac conference, the Mac. So I know I hate it when they, I know they hate it when I say Mac conference, but the Mid-American conference as a whole was dropped to FCS. They came back up. Besides that, they either obviously stay. No team has been forced down ever. The only other option was they just dropped the program. So no team has ever been forced down. And there's a reason why the Sun Belt keeps adding teams. While Western Kentucky, South Alabama, Georgia State, Georgia Southern, Appalachian State, Old Dominion, Charlotte is starting the program. There's a reason they're going to FBS.
More money.
You get money. Yeah, you may get the couple body bag games where you paid about $1 million each, but you get more money to help the programs. And the stupidest argument, it's not like Colorado State's a terrible program. Not that they're amazing, but basketball with Larry Eustace doing quite well. Jim McElroy doing quite well. So it's like, what's the deal? His only logical argument is about the stadium.
I don't understand
why. Yeah, stadium issue. That's about it. Funding has been underachieving. That's the only issue I can see with his argument.
But guess what? All you need is one big donor.
Well, and they fired the big donor they had as AD with Jack Graham recently.
Right. So you need to find another big donor.
Well, the problem is they said they'd get half and half, like 125 to 125 million. It's tough. They're not in a big area, but make it a long-term deal then.
Every school has their own version of a T. Boone Pickens.
Yeah.
It just depends on whether they want to commit or not. Colorado State is a land-grant university. Their focus is still very much on academics as it is to athletics.
Their endowment... Go ahead.
Their endowment's pretty big for a state school.
If I recall, when we had... what's his name? You know who I'm talking about, who wrote for us. He's a professor there as well.
Yeah,
Joel. Yeah, Joel, yeah. He's now at Washington State, but he mentioned time after time, I think CSU has like the... Out West has like $1 billion endowment and rivals Stanford for like the biggest endowments and even Ivy League schools.
Huge endowment.
They could crap out $250 million if they really wanted to. They could take money from that and not have an issue.
Here's the thing about endowment. Endowment is purely on an academic level,
mm-hmm.
and from that, it's used to keep the school funding. Pay professors, pay all this other things. It's not really used in the athletic department. Athletic department's a separate entity. Now, if somebody who is a large donator from the endowment has all of a sudden become seriously interested in sports, that money's going to be raised, no problem. Even $1 million does a huge damage in at least getting a loan for a new stadium.
Sure. So, also... Isn't endowment essentially you build up an endowment and you just live off the interest every year, essentially?
Something like that. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Trying to make it basic terms, but that's what I've understood. But they're never going to drop. They're never going to lose the... This guy's just looking for pages and clicks. I'm not giving his name out. You can find it. You've probably read it. And there's a reason I didn't want to write about it, even though we argued on Twitter. And my main point was... What I already mentioned, no team's ever willingly dropped down outside of the Mac fiasco. And Hawaii is never going to drop the program either. So that's the end of that. It's just...
Next topic.
Stupid.
Twitter questions.
One Twitter question.
One Twitter question tonight.
We got our good buddy, Houston Duke's Colorado State content for us, Jacob Shildgen, I believe. Find him on Twitter, Jacob_Shildgen. He's a... According to his Twitter bio, senior business major at Colorado State University, studying for a career in finance. Maybe if he gets that big-time donor and gets a big financial job on Wall Street, he can make up that $250 million.
Hey, can we, like, convince him to, name the stadium partly after us?
Naturally. Why not?
Yes.
And he's... Okay. I wouldn't want to cross him, though. His Twitter avatar is him, some sort of rifle.
Twitter question. I want the Twitter question.
Twitter question. Which is odd from this guy. He's asking, I assume it's a legitimate question. Does Wyoming have a legitimate shot to win the Mountain Division?
Yes.
Do you want to expound upon how that could be the case?
Yes. Beat Boise State, beat Colorado State, beat Utah State, everybody else. That's how you do it. So do they have a legitimate shot? Yes, but the probability is extremely low.
They do get Utah State and Boise at home.
They do. And the Wyoming game, with how good their defense looks, and yes, I know 48-14 is a shellacking of, you know, a defense, but that's against Oregon. You're going to get points to Oregon. But the defense stayed in there for the most part. This defense, it could be the strength of the Wyoming team this year.
There's that in the running game as well.
Right.
I would say, I'm probably going to say no, but I could see them, looking at their schedule, I could see them beating Hawaii.
I could see them finishing second in the Mountain.
Maybe.
For them to finish first, it's a complete stretch. I'm giving it a 1% chance. Mm-hmm. But that being said, that is a chance, and that is what is, you know.
That's all you need. You need a shot.
Exactly.
And with Fresno, as bad as they are, they could beat Fresno. They'll probably beat New Mexico. They can beat San Jose State and Hawaii. That's four wins right there. That gets them bowl eligible for our bowling buns. And then you got CSU, Utah State, Boise. I think they'll finish fourth, but it's not like when they're going up against Utah State or Colorado State, they're not going to get thrashed, I don't think.
No.
They'll be able to contend in the games, but to contend for the division, I'm going to say no on that part. But they're going to be the most improved team. And would you, if Craig Bull gets a 6 wins, would you give him Coach of the Year? Or would you give it to, say, perhaps a Brian Harsin who wins the league in his first year? That happens.
No,
to what? Bowling all the way. Okay.
Jingle balls all the way. Okay, I'm stopping now. Games, let's go to games.
Game, we'll start with game one before we have to transition to other sound quality. Hawaii, Colorado. First game, it's 2 p.m. Eastern, noon local time, Hawaii at Colorado. It's on the Pac-12 network, so find your stream accordingly if you don't have the network. You guys can use the Google machine to do that if you need to. But I thought you were going to sneeze some random website in there. But Hawaii, do you know the line on this game? Probably not since you're driving.
I think it was Colorado -7.
Yeah, -7. And this is a win. I think I mentioned it before, even without Julio Cepha, this is a winnable game for Hawaii against Colorado.
I think so. I think your signature, quote-unquote signature win is going to come against Colorado. Colorado has not exactly looked dominant. Yes, they, you know, Colorado State beat them and they dominated them. And then Colorado played University of Massachusetts and nearly lost that game. You have to understand how bad UMass is.
You do,
this
but
is a team.
Go ahead.
They were 1-11 last year?
Terrible.
I think.
This is what their third year in FBS, I think. Second or third year.
It's just they're an awful team, and Colorado almost lost to them.
They did play well against Arizona State last week. It was only 38-24, but part of it, Taylor Kelly went out with injury, I believe, around halftime. And the backup did nothing, and Arizona State came out to a 17-0 lead right off the bat. Colorado came back. They made it reasonably interesting. And they do have Cepha Lufia, who can throw the ball very well. He had a couple picks. They threw 46 times versus ASU. And Christian Powell's a good running back, so they have some weapons, I think.
At the same time, look at what Hawaii has done. Okay. Last week against Northern Iowa, they didn't look that impressive. But Northern Iowa's good FCS team. We talked about this. But look at what they did against Washington. Look at what they did against Oregon State. They kept it close.
part of the Oregon State
not Oregon State, but they were still, I mean, they still managed to score all those points in the fourth quarter and made it a game, scared Oregon State within the last minute. All it took was a recovered onside kick, and, you know, they probably found a way to win that game.
Sure, yeah, they did get, they blocked a punt and a snap and everything to come back, but they came back. And I'm looking over at our guy, Ralph Report. They're talking about the big matchup. And it's kind of odd they put this as their key matchup. They put the Colorado O-line versus Hawaii's front seven as the kind of a key to the game.
I think that's, I mean, and the only way I see that as a key matchup is the fact that Hawaii's D-line, they did this the first game against Washington's O-line. They disrupted the backup quarterback in Washington. They were able to get to him. Even Oregon State, they got to Sean Mannion and hurried him a few times. I see that being an effect, but really, I see this game more. I think there's going to be points scored in this game. I see this game, one of the key matchup is how well can Steve Alakalaka and Diosome St. James hit those holes versus Colorado.
They do. And back really quick to what Ralph Report put up, there could be a – they had to start last week a freshman, Jonathan Hutkins, on the left side for an injured Jeremy Irwin, and he played good, but that's your first start. You're pumped up. I get there's a drop in competition, but there's still going to be rookie mistakes if you put a – I'm not sure if it's a true or redshirt freshman, but his first big-time game, first start, he looked okay, but they've had issues. Another thing – when it's third and short, fourth and short, when they need just a couple yards, Colorado's offensive line hasn't been very good at all. And not that Hawaii has these giant linemen, but that's a thing where they could have been confident maybe if it's a short yard situation, the Buffs have a tough time getting what they need.
Right. But I still think, even more, like I said, I'm very firm on my predictions as to what controls this game is how well Hawaii's running backs do, because you don't have ESF there. And while Lakalaka did a serviceable job, and even Ikeka Woolsey scrambling out of the pocket and getting his yards, you have to remember, Colorado was the one who we thought that D. Hart and the second Colorado State were going to be this huge dynamic 1-2 punch because they gave up so many yards on the ground.
Yeah, not quite.
You know,
did you looking at the stats now? Colorado's second; they're 11th out of 12 in the Pac-12. They're giving up; they're even worse than USC, which is giving up a bunch of yards. They're giving up 198 a game, and this is a game where it's not like they're blowing opponents from outside of CSU. Well, they're not; it's not where they're getting blown out, where the teams are running because they have a big lead. They had a close game versus CSU and a close game versus UMass. So those opposing teams D. Hart ran well, Colorado State ran well, but it's not like UMass is, oh, we need to throw to stay ahead or to get close in this game. They had to still run their offense, or they're running and passing. This is, I think, Lock can have a reasonably good game, and I would expect nothing less than 100 yards from him.
And if Hawaii gets close enough that they can pound those in for touchdowns, you're looking at, I think this spread is covered. I think Hawaii covers this -7, and do I put them as my stupid upset pick of the week? It wouldn't be stupid, and it wouldn't be too much of an upset for the spread that close.
Yeah, I think they'll cover. I'm not sure if they'll win. I think if they're going to win, they need to start off quickly. They can't get into that giant hole they did against Oregon State. And even stupid plays against Washington, they need to come out, maybe score at 6 to 10 points on the first two drives, a field goal and a touchdown or some combination of that.
Right.
That's what I think they do. If they can get up 10-0 or something, then I think, or even 14-0, whatever, I think then they could win this game. But I still think, I get it, it's a long flight.
Long flight.
You're going to Colorado, driving to Denver, driving to Boulder. It's a pretty big trip. Any trip for them is big. But I think and it's early start for them. If it's noon Mountain Time, that's 8 a.m. local time. They're kicking off. That's always an issue. But if they could somehow get ahead with Laka Laka running the ball well, Woosley not throwing spike in the ball, they got his receiver's hands and throwing 100 miles an hour. If he can get some sort of touch and get the offense going, then it's possible they'll win. But it's minimum cover. But I wouldn't be shocked if they pull off the upsets. All right, ready for next game, or are we taking a quick interlude here?
Let's take a quick interlude.
Oh, sounds good. We'll be back momentarily, folks. Welcome back from that short commercial break there, where you may or may not have heard music I may or may not have put in there. But now let's continue our show here with game number two. San Jose State travels to Minnesota. And did you know, Chris, the Big Ten's pretty bad this year?
Yeah, it's damn awful.
It's so bad. The MAC has a better record against Power 5 teams than the Big Ten, which I think the Big Ten has won.
I think there's more than that, but...
No, they've only beaten one Power 5 team.
Oh, okay.
I heard that from somewhere else, so I'll take that as fact.
Because the internet is never wrong.
I heard it over audio medium. I think I may have heard it from the solid verbal bros, so I'll say, sure, that works fine. So, okay, remember last year in this game that San Jose State's rush defense was pretty awful. And we're assuming Travis Rasidi and a Bugler back on the defensive front, they should be okay, but this Minnesota team also just got thrashed by an okay TCU team last week.
Yeah, this, I mean, God, what do you say about
Minnesota? Man.
I guess I don't know enough about them to say anything. I remember them to be a good rushing team last year, but after the way they got manhandled last week, it just...
They got shut out 30-0 versus a TCU team that's pretty good.
It should be pretty good this year, yeah, but they'll probably finish halfway down the Big 12.
Yeah, they weren't great. They're not good, but Minnesota's also... who knows what the Big Ten brings? Man, Ohio State loses to Virginia Tech. They lose. Michigan State gets crushed by Oregon. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I don't want to disrespect Minnesota. They actually scored 7 points last week. Sorry.
Yeah, did, because a shutout is actually fairly embarrassing.
But their wins, who knows? They beat Eastern Illinois and Middle Tennessee State, and they only beat Middle Tennessee State by 11 points. Their best player, they do run the ball reasonably well. Like, their quarter, like, they have running the ball David Cobb, who is averaging about 110 yards per game, 6 yards a carry. He's their main threat. And if the San Jose State defense, again, we don't know how much is really better just because they are awful last year and they've only played a couple games this year. And also, you got Blake Jurek, who this is the game we want to know if he's really a good quarterback or not.
Right, and that's where on our may or may not infograph player to watch section, I actually put Blake Jurich as a player to watch this week because he did reasonably well against Auburn when they got thrashed by Auburn, but Auburn's the number 5 team in the country. I mean,
and a great defense,
and a very good defense. Yes,
he had that one.
Also, take a look at this spread. Have you seen the spread?
Not right in front of me. I'm going back to it. What is it at? 10?
Minnesota's only 7.5.
7.5? That sounds about right. I just think Auburn's going to run the ball against anybody, so you can't really say, well, their rush defense is either exponentially better or worse because of this, because they gave up 358 yards. I think what San Jose State needs to do, obviously, get Blake Jurek to Tyler Winston going on early. Tyler Irvin as well, the top two receivers. And then, they are getting back. San Jose State's getting back. Jared, what's the running back, the freshman last year?
Jared Lawson.
Jared Lawson. He missed the first few games. He'll be seeing his first action. And maybe he'll be pumped for his game, and that can give him a boost for running the ball against a Big Ten team, even though it's a Minnesota Big Ten team.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? Somehow, Spartans can step up and maybe pull off the upset against the Miz team?
Well, the biggest, the only way I see this happening is if I look at my handy dandy statistics sheet here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say that the way they the way San Jose State beats Minnesota is they're going to beat them through the air. Okay.
Makes
when
sense.
They lost against when they lost against TCU last week, and they got blown out, it was through the air. TCU ran 258 passing yards on them, which doesn't sound like that much. But hey, if you're Trevon Boykin, two touchdowns, one interception, and it's only 258 yards, and you're still dominating. Also, think about this. Minnesota committed 5 turnovers last week.
Well, TCU's known for their great defense. I'm looking up their stat line last week. Their offensive line was just terrible. They had the TCU defense just crushed the offensive line, had 3 interceptions, 2 sacks, and multiple, at least 4 quarterback hurries.
So I think the way San Jose State beats Minnesota is they're going to A, throw the ball. And Jurch is pretty good at that. And B, the defense has to set up. Travis Rossetti has to get some good hits, cause some fumbles.
Vince Bugler as well needs to get something done, too.
Vince Bugler's here.
Yeah. Bugler, sorry. But also, one thing, too, if you're looking at San Jose State, Jurch should have plenty of time to throw the ball because San Jose State last year was near the bottom of the Big Ten in sacks. They were good in total defense at 22 last year, top 25 team. But they were not able to get the quarterback or pressure. They only got 18 sacks all last year. And they're big. And most of those came from Therian Cochran, who had 7.5, was what, third or fourth, top 5 in the Big Ten? He has 0 this year. So, assuming that takes the same toll, they only had 2 sacks against their season, excuse me, 3 against Eastern Illinois and 2 against Middle Tennessee State. So those aren't, I would hopefully say San Jose State's offensive line is at worst on par with Middle Tennessee State and give up a couple sacks. It looks like Jurich could have plenty of time, and the best player on the field could be it was San Jose State wide receiver Tyler Winston.
Yep.
So I
all right, let's
win or loss. You got to win or just cover.
I'm going to go cover. I'm going to go win.
This will be my dumb upset pick. I'll say Spartans win.
Yeah, this is your double. This is it. Really, a dumb upset pick when it's 7.5 points up?
I see 9 right here.
Depends on where you're going. Okay.
Fine. And I I'm on ESPN right now, but I don't think I could say San Diego State over Oregon State, but I see the Aztecs not having an issue with that. But let's move on. Florida Atlantic, Wyoming.
Sure.
Travel alone, Wyoming should just win this game. Florida Atlantic, they're an awful team.
They're no, are they? They beat Tulsa 50-21 last week.
Well, I was going to get to that. They held Tulsa to 21 points. Well, okay. They did play. Here's the thing. It's hard to tell. They got thrashed by Nebraska 55-7 and 41-0 versus Alabama. Tulsa, they've been down the past couple years, so holding them to 21 is still impressive, but so far this year, they are Tulsa's like in the bottom 100. 100 blowing like points for, points against, rushing yards are not very good. So, but Florida Atlantic, I'm just looking at their stats, like the top 4 stats on ESPN, they're 110th in passing yards, which is only good for 175 per game. They only rush for 113 yards. Again, they played tough opponents, but I would put safe to say Wyoming's defensive front and the way their toughness would be somewhat, I'm stretching very much, but somewhat comparable to Nebraska. Is that too much to say?
I would say so.
But it's going to be much better than Tulsa.
I think so. Yeah, no, absolutely. It should be.
I'm saying so. I don't know much about the former Schlettenbergers. Schnellen? Yeah, the Stash. Hall of Fame coach with the Stash. So what? Looking over at Underdog Dynasty, what they're putting up, they think their main concern is to stop DJ May and Sean Wick, which is a pretty good duo. and then also pressure Colby Kurtgaard, because even Kurtgaard, he hasn't had anything special this year. He's been an okay quarterback, but he's going to need to get rid of the ball and actually throw, get to the receivers and not just throw for, what, 10 yards? I don't know what he throws for. He's not doing great this year, but junior college guy, you think he'd have it going for him. He does have 4 touchdowns, but he's not barely completing 50% of his passes, so... And make that 60. I guess my math is a bit rusty.
I'm going to say Wyoming by 10.
Wyoming by 10, you think so? You don't think Atlanta, FAU can get it done?
I think it's too high of altitude. It's a stupid excuse, but, you know, I trust Wyoming, especially after their little humble game versus Oregon last week. I think they'll get back to it.
I think the main thing, because looks like, because against Tulsa, FAU wanted to push the tempo, and Wyoming's the complete opposite. And Wyoming was able to relatively slow down Oregon for the most part, for at least a quarter and a half.
Once again, once we talked about the recap shows, you know, Wyoming, if Wyoming didn't commit those turnovers, that's 21-point swing right there.
They could have had, 21 points about there. It would have been much closer, so... Yeah, I see Wyoming going away. They're just playing too well and too tough, and both teams have played good enough opponents to know that this opponent should be not as difficult, but Wyoming, I think they'll take care of by touchdown or two. Maybe touchdown. Now let's go to UNLV in Houston. Hey, UNLV game you will not be at because it's on the road. And again, this one's on ESPN3. That Florida Atlantic Wyoming Campus Insiders, San Jose State, Minnesota is on Big Ten Network. There's your TV stuff. So, UNLV at Houston.
This spread is way too much.
Yeah, 21 points. Houston, I think the credit's coming from, besides UNLV being blown out a couple times, but Houston somehow...
He got blown out once.
Okay, I'll go with once. Fine, once. They gave up a lot of points. That's what I'll go with. But I think where Houston's getting credit is that, well, they almost beat BYU and they came back. Well... A Hail Mary from a stupid defensive play for BYU and a blocked punt or something. Excuse me. Houston, they have no running game whatsoever, so it'll be John O'Court, who's a very good quarterback for Houston. But he's only completing, he's been sacked 5 times. He has 4 TDs and 4 interceptions, not even completing 55% of his passes. He's doing much worse than last year. And the turnovers are okay because Houston was pretty good turning the ball over, forcing them, I should say. I think they got 3 versus BYU, but they're not. I'll mention every million times if we ever talk about Houston, they're not going to be +2 every game in the turnover margin.
No.
And I think your biggest deal, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think with Shaq back, that should help you be quite a bit on the offense.
Well, at least get that running game going a little bit, Ken. And, you know, that's really what helped UNLV attempt the comeback that almost happened last week, was that Shaquille Murray-Lawrence only had 91 yards on the ground, but the rushing game, the commit to the rush, opened the game up enough that it allowed Blake Decker to be successful.
And assuming Marcus Sullivan will play the whole game, you got Devontae Davis. I'm going to go, UNLV's going to, I'm going to say they're going to cover. I don't think they'll win this game, but they can cover, and the way Houston can give up points, this will be an interesting game, I think. So it's on ESPN3 at 8 Eastern. You should, if you have the access, watch part of this game, because I think you got some pretty good athletes. John O'Korn, Houston's always a fun team to watch.
Watch the last half, because the first half could possibly be a blowout.
No, you watch the first half in case it is a blowout, then you turn it off.
Right, but usually UNLV plays better in the second half.
Ah, I gotcha. There you go. But they're not going to win, but I think they'll keep it close, like within single digits or about 10 points, I would say.
I'm going to.
All right, so we got New Mexico State, ESPN3, same time, 8 Eastern. Do we have to talk about this game?
What game?
New Mexico State.
Exactly, what game?
Yeah. You did mention on an infograph, is that Cole Gauchy for one of our players to watch?
Oh, Lamar Jordan.
But he's the backup.
But he's...
What? He's what?
Cole Gauchy's starting this game?
That's what I'll double check because our guy Ron, they had the press conference during their bye week, and they said Lamar moved up to the number two spot, but Gauchi was still number one. Like right here, the depth chart. Let me double check the most recent depth chart. That was from last week. Let's see. Let me go to the Albuquerque Journal and click my few questions that have me answer before I can actually get to the article. Let's see. The QB situation. Okay, junior quarterback Cole Gauchi is listed on the depth chart on as Saturday starter, but Davey said Tuesday he's proceeding for now as if Gauchi won't be ready to play. So, okay. We're both right, but you're more right than me. I'll go with that. Do you think that'll be the difference, perhaps, against New Mexico State's awful as well? They're not any good.
Oh, they're horrible.
They're in the Sun Belt. What are they? They are 2-1. Mike, we still call them terrible?
Yeah.
They beat Cal Poly. Is Georgia State officially FBS now?
Yeah, Georgia State has been FBS.
For about three or four years?
No, for two. One.
Make it sound like it's been for a decade. They lost to UTEP, and UTEP's okay, but here's all you need to know. New Mexico State will want to run the ball with Larry Rose III and Brandon Bennecourt. They're doing pretty well, average about 5 yards a carry. But the real thing where New Mexico can make some noise is that while quarterback Tyler Rogers does have 7 touchdowns, he already has 4 interceptions and only thrown for 723 yards, which is, well, it's not too bad, about 250 a game. Nothing special, but they rely on the running game. And do you trust New Mexico's running defense to stop anybody? Maybe. This isn't Las Cruces, so does that make any difference for you?
But good Lord, why won't you start Lamar Jordan? I think that's still catching.
If there's a questionable with Gauchi, we both understand Gauchi moves the offense well for yardage wise. Learn how to throw something. Because Lamar, he can actually run reasonably. He may not be able to run it as efficient on the ground, but he can put the ball in the air. And like I said, you get Carlos Wiggins, one of the more explosive players in the league, not getting the ball enough. I think New Mexico is going to win by double digits.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on.
Actually, for about 10 seconds, we'll discuss Southern Utah versus Fresno State. Fresno, you better win by 3 touchdowns.
You're sounding overly optimistic.
Okay, here's what I was back on.
I'm putting it Fresno to win.
Okay, here's what I was on the what was it, ESPN Hawaii today. One of my favorite shows, to be honest, pretty fun. We just chat for about 15 minutes. I forget the guy's name, but not a big deal at the moment on ESPN Hawaii. But we're talking about this game. Here's what Fresno must do. During week 4, they don't have a quarterback. Assuming both Connett and Burrell are healthy, they need to find out who they have after this game. So my proposal earlier today was, you should win this game. You're going to win this game. Tell your quarterback, all right, you're playing quarter 1 and quarter 2. You're playing, or whatever, you're playing 2 quarters. You're not going to get pulled no matter what unless you're injured or you throw like 5 picks in a row. You're going to play this time so we know who's performing better and who we should go with going forward. If it's still a tie, you cannot go with Connett because he's only here for 1 year. Just let him loose and be your backup if you need him. Run the Wildcat or something.
Here's an idea. So this great coach from Hawaii had this brilliant idea last year.
The quadrant.
Yes. The quadrant comes to Fresno State.
It can't. No. They just need. Am I wrong? Do you think this is the final game? If you don't know who it is, you have to go with Burrell.
Yes. I think
it's fair to give each guy 2 quarters and say, this is it. Whoever's better goes forward. And Connett, when we talk to you, you have to be head and shoulders above because Burrell will be back next year, even though he may not start next year. He'll be back to play. you're not. That's all. And they're going to win. That's all I have. But that's what they really need to do. All right, next game. We're flying through these. This may be a 45-minute show as I speak too soon, probably. But
it's a lie. It's all right.
San Diego State at Oregon State. This is the game I want to see the most.
This is our game of the week on our supposed infograph that we're posting.
Not supposed. It is, and there will be an infograph. San Diego State at Oregon State. It's -10 for Oregon State on Fox Sports 1. Late night, which Aztecs used to, 10:30 Eastern. Got the 7:30 Pacific time right there in Corvallis. Everybody knows Oregon State. I'll still say it. Sean Mannion will be the best NFL prospect probably in this draft next year. Best NFL type quarterback in the Pac-12. Best pure thrower. I don't care about Marcus Mariota, Brett Hundley, even Taylor Kelly. He's the best passing quarterback. They have Storm Woods who can run the ball. They lost Brandon Cooks, but that doesn't seem to be too much of an issue for them. With Victor Bolden doing quite well, and even Connor Hamlet, but Oregon State, they always start slow, but they're not. We already saw them versus Hawaii, and they came out to a big lead, but what's your kind of thoughts? Is this the game Aztecs really need to say we're the best team in the league?
Yeah, this is where San Diego State's going to prove if they're not only going to win the West, but you're absolutely right. If they are the best team in the Mountain West,
do you think they are at the moment?
No.
Just because they lost to UNC and kind of choked that game away.
Yeah.
I would put it's pretty close. I think Boise State, just because they can make more plays defensively from what I've seen, they're probably the best team. But I think overall, as for each unit, like if you're going to say compare quarterbacks, running backs, defense, linemen, I would probably give the edge to San Diego State. But the way this Boise can make some plays, that's kind of weird to say. But I think they're slightly the better team. But in this particular game, San Diego State, we know what Rocky Long can do, the 4-2-5, 3-3-5, 40, whatever is going to run out there. They need to pressure Mannion, get in his face, and make him throw the ball early and make errors. That's what happened. I remember a game last year when they played Utah, Oregon State did. They forced Mannion to multiple turnovers. Utah's defensive line got in his face and made him uncomfortable. I know it sounds cheesy, but if they can do that to Mannion, that's how they can get the win. And that we know with Jake Feely and San Diego State's or Rocky Long's defense, that's very capable to be done.
Yeah, so because of the fact that Hawaii only lost to eight and that by eight, that's because they had a furious fourth quarter attempt at a comeback. This is a game, once again, San Diego State should win, but I'm going to go ahead and say they're definitely going to cover, but they're going to lose by 1 to 3 points.
The one issue where I think, because I was reading through our Q&A,
we did. No Azil Ruffin. That's all I have to
say.
Sure,
yeah, you got no Azil Ruffin. But I think they had the off week to find their next guy to step up. But reading what the guys from Building the Dam mentioned on our Q&A, the offensive line is an issue for Oregon State. And that's kind of my key. If they can, whoever's playing up front for San Diego State, if they can get, like I said, get their hand up, knock some balls down, do something to slow down that Sean Mannion, or at least make him hurry, that's how they can win if that line is not great. And Mannion's pretty much like Sean Mannion, Paint Mannion. Not that the skill-wise, but mobility-wise, Mannion is not going to... He's just going to sit there. He's not going to scramble. He's going to get tackled if a guy gets within a foot of him or touches his shoelace. And so that's what Aztecs, I think, can have a chance to get this game. I'm calling for the win because I think they're going to be close. I think I'm hoping... This could be, again, optimistic on our end, but I think Kaler's going to have less interceptions and less stupid plays. And why not give it to Pumphrey to let him run the ball? And so I just think that's what's going to be done. I'm calling for the upset.
All right, go ahead and go for that.
Woohoo! I'll probably lose, most likely. Final game, Lafayette, Boise State, CBS Sports.
We have two more games.
Two? Wait. Oh, stupid ESPN. I picked Utah State, Arkansas State. Let's just do Boise really quick because I know you got to get out of here. They're 17-point favorite. Lafayette's 1-2. Let's just do this. Let's compare Lafayette versus Ole Miss.
And not Boise State versus Ole Miss.
Yeah, well, I mean, those two played each other. That's what I mean. So, and I saw part of that game, and Lafayette was not very
good. Lafayette has not looked like the Lafayette of even a couple of years ago or last year. This is a Lafayette team that got thrashed by Ole Miss. That got thrashed by Louisiana Tech. I gotta look that up again.
48 to 20.
They lost 48-20 to Louisiana Tech, who's looking decent, but I mean nothing great.
Oh, nothing compared with Sonny Dykes there now.
No, absolutely not. So I mean, that game realistically should have been closer. The Ole Miss game that looked absolutely abysmal. I think Boise State, especially Boise at home, I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're going to win. I don't know if they'll win by three touchdowns, but they don't have a running game. Terrence Broadway can throw reasonably well for Lafayette, but he threw three picks.
Terrence Broadway is the reason why Louisiana Lafayette should be better than what they are.
He's a dual threat guy. He runs pretty well, throws pretty well. They just don't have a defense that can hold up, and Boise's... Yeah, I bet Broadway will probably put up a decent amount of yards and through the air against Boise, but I think Boise will get a pick or two and take care of business and win by 15 points or so.
Just real quick, you know, La Tech. Okay, so here's how you know that this is A, not your Sonny Dykes team of old, and that, oh my goodness, what the hell, Louisiana Lafayette. The Raging Cajuns gave up 238 yards on the ground to Louisiana Tech.
Hmm. All right, then.
Think about that. Just...
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Well, that's what happened, apparently. So, do you really quick, do you see Boise covering the 17?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think it'll be close, but they won't quite do it.
No, they should be able to do it.
All right, final game. Let's real quick.
By the way, just that one last stat. You know how they gave up 238 yards on the ground to Louisiana Tech?
Yeah.
Louisiana Tech through three games only averages 130 yards.
All right, that tells you everything, right?
Or that's all you have to say.
Yeah, or close to everything. All right, so let's move on. Final game. Sorry, my Utah State's one of my favorite teams on ESPN, so it shoots up to the top. This is, unfortunately, an online-only ESPN3 game, 7 Eastern, Utah State at Arkansas State. All you really need to know, Chucky Keaton's out. Gerald Garrett's
starting this game.
Yeah, Garrett's in the starting. Chucky's on the mend. His knee's intact. I assume this is mostly for precautionary reasons, since they have a bye week on the 27th, and they play BYU Friday night, October 3rd, I believe. Garrettson's—he's not the same elusiveness as Chucky. Doesn't put up the same numbers, but efficient-wise, he's just fine. He led the team to 6-1 last year, and even though it was a defensive effort for the most part, he was competent enough to make plays. And like I mentioned earlier today in that interview I had, he would probably start for half the Mountain West.
In most other schools, yes.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, he'd probably. The only schools, like, real quick, San Diego State, Boise, CSU, not there. So those are just a couple in Nevada. So about half the league, he would start for most of those teams. Like, last year, it wasn't great. He did have 370 versus Hawaii, 300 versus UNLV. He had a couple under 200, but they probably weren't opening up the playbook as much. He's there for all spring, ran the offense, took a lot of reps in fall camp. He's been ready to go every week. Outside of that crappy interception versus Wake Forest, he moved the ball well. He was 11 of 16 in one half.
So why is Utah State only a 3-point favorite in this game?
No, they're an underdog.
Are they?
I just checked right now on the ESPN. It's Arkansas State -3 at home.
Really?
It changed. It changed.
I don't believe.
You don't believe that?
No. And to prove that I don't believe you, I'm going to Vegas odds right now.
That's what I'm doing as well, because I do recall them being fair. I see who's internet's faster.
It's now what the what is ESPN News? Because
they aren't. It depends on who you look.
It's a big difference. I'm looking at
If you look at the win, Las Vegas, Arkansas State has a 1.5 point advantage. Everybody else has 1 and 2 point advantage for Arkansas State, but it started at -3 for Utah State. That's a 5 point swing.
Well, I'm looking here on SB Nation. The Odd Sharks, they have a couple different sites. It opened up as -1.5 for Arkansas State. So Arkansas State is always the favorite.
Vegas had opened up -3 for Utah State. It has jumped 5 points to Arkansas State's favor. Holy smokes.
I'm wondering, okay, I'm betting, but I guarantee you some lines are set 2 weeks before. So I'm wondering the Chucky Keaton factor. If this line was set before he was injured. Because if I'm on the right now, I see a couple odds for September 27th games.
Okay, so the things that are impacting these odds, according to what Vegas Insider is saying, is that Utah State quarterback Daryl Gerritsen is probable. So, yes.
Wait, Gerritsen probable?
It says Gerritsen probable, Chucky Keaton out, Arkansas State's running back Michael Gordon out. So, probable meaning that he's probably going to be the starter.
Well, yeah, he's a starter. It's already been announced. Matt Wells said Keaton's just knee's fine, but he's going to take a break. Arkansas State's no joke. Yet they had 5 coaches in 5 years, whatever, won multiple Sun Belt Conference titles. Hugh Freeze was there 2 years ago, the Ole Miss coach. Brian Harsin, of course, last year. The only comparable game we have is they both played Tennessee, and Arkansas State played a little bit better. But Arkansas State got blown out by Miami last week, 41-20. And Miami's an okay ACC team. And their offense is... they're passing. It's okay. They have a multiple running backs there with Friedel Knighton and Johnson White that split. They only get about 4 yards a carry, but they need to watch out for Freddie Knighton's a quarterback as well. Apologize. He's another dual threat type of guy. Just make him do one thing or the other. Utah State's defense, even without Kyler Frackle, I think you would agree with me, is perfectly fine to handle this type of offense.
Yeah, So, go with the underdog Utah State Aggies.
I think it'll be close because it's a weird road game going out to Jonesboro out there to play this team. And, yeah, they got a new quarterback. But Arkansas State, new coach. I just think their defense is too much to overcome. Because Arkansas State's defense, they're like number 90th in the country in points against. They're giving up 30 points a game. And I think if Gerritsen, they're going to unleash him a little bit more than what we've seen, and he'll be fine. Because he did, like I said, he was efficient versus Wake Forest, and they're ACC talent. I'll go that far and say it. So Aggies win probably by single digits, but they'll win.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
All right, do you have anything else to add to our week 4 preview?
Nope.
Look for infograph, hopefully?
Yes.
All right, yeah, just check us out, mwcconnection.com. Again, thank you for Chris for joining us, our 2-part show. Jeremy here. Again, we'll have previews all week. Everything's going on. Football. A little bit of hoops, but mostly football. But check us out for our live thread. All these games are on Saturday, and we'll check back with you next week for a recap and this great slate of games.